When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. You guys know what that means. I'm joined by my friend O'Casey Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter. What is going on, Bub?
Not much, my friend. Just another beautiful week in the books. Just chaos. You know, no hitters. I'm going to throw a no-hitter next, Bogman. I don't know about you, but it's coming up.
We're going to get Bubba's take on no-hitters after the break here. But first, I'm going to give you the floor because I feel like this is a good week for a nice Bubba rant. So let's hear your thoughts on Tony La Russa and the White Sox drama from this week.
First off, Bogman's a professional because he gives me 2 minutes for this because we could go the entire show if you'd like. But Tony La Russa is what they call the olds, the get off my lawn guy. He's 76 years old, should not be managing baseball. He's yelling at someone for not knowing the unwritten rules of baseball when it was 2 weeks ago. He didn't know the written rules of baseball about not using this pitcher to run from second base. So that's one. He's already lost the locker room because you have guys like Tim Anderson and Lance Lynn going to social media and basically blasting him. At the same time, he probably has a flip phone still, so he has no clue what social media is. So that's the bright side to him. But just the comments he makes one after the other, when you think it can't get any worse, the comment about Lance Lynn going, well, it's a good thing he has a locker and I have an office. Like basically showing him like, yeah, I'm still in charge here. I hate to break it to you, Tony, but this isn't the 1950s. There's no speakeasies in the back somewhere for you to go get drunk at and then have your, you know, horse-drawn carriage stop at a stoplight for you. It's a little different now, and the players kind of have a little more say on how things go. I hate to break it. It's not quite the NBA, but it's getting there. So if you keep this one up, I'm waiting for, like, I tweeted it. I said, I want a camera, a 24/7 camera, in every aspect of the White Sox clubhouse, because one of these moments, La Russa is going to say the wrong thing, and big old Lance Lynn or someone's going to just drop him, and it's going to be one of the best pieces of footage I have ever seen.
I don't think that'll happen. Just
one can dream. One can dream.
Not because he doesn't deserve it, but because at this point in his life, yeah, I mean, it's literally punching an old man.
Well, I think if like just Lance Lynn stood up in front of him, like Tony La Russa might have a heart attack.
That could happen. I mean, after Carlos Rodon's no hitter, when he was talking about it, I swear to God, I thought La Russa was going to fall asleep while talking about it on the air. But I love it. And like Bubba said, we could have got 3.5 minutes to 10 minutes out of this if we wanted to. So glad to get it out of the way. When we come back, we'll talk about no hitters. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League
is cooking.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, joined by Casey Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter. Now, the Welsh and I have already talked about no hitters, so we're not going to spend an entire another segment on no hitters. I just, you know, want to get your take real quick, Bub, because we have had 6 official no hitters this year, 7 if you want to count Bumgarner's. The record for a year is 7. It's been crazy just how many no hitters we've already had, but all six have come against 3 teams total: Cleveland, Seattle, and Texas. All AL teams too, so what DH do we need, right? Yeah. I don't know. It's a very strange thing that's happening here. So what do you attribute this to? Is this kind of ruining no-hitters for you, and your overall thoughts on the abundance of no-hitters that we've had already in this season?
Yeah, there's a few things. It is definitely ruining no-hitters for me, which sucks. Like, it used to be the highlight of, you see it on the app, like, hey, no-hitter in progress, or you're watching MLB Network, and all of a sudden we're going to go live to so-and-so on the mound. Like, those were the highlights, because
you expect people to lose those, by the way, when you tune in and you're like, you lost it. You know, he only gave up 2 hits, whatever. It was a great game, blah, blah, blah. But now I feel like this year you see the no hitter in progress and you're like, yeah, this is probably going to happen. I better go ahead and flip it on.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And it's like, it used to be a special thing once or twice a year. Now it's happened on back-to-back nights. You mentioned we have 6 already. The bright side, I guess, to make me feel a little better about it is just 3 teams, which is embarrassing. And it makes me think, do we need to get the soccer, like EPL method of relegation? If you're that bad of a baseball team, we get rid of you and start a new team somewhere else. It's impossible. I'm just kind of tongue-in-cheeking that. But maybe we shouldn't expand the league if we have this many bad baseball teams. Just going to throw that one out there.
Yeah.
So it's bad. I really, really don't like it. Like, it's nothing against, you know, it's cool to see Kluber get it. It was awesome to see Rodon get it, Musgrove, all these guys. But it's like, it kind of doesn't make it as special anymore, which is really strange. Like, it wasn't too long ago we were impressed when a guy like had a complete game, let alone a shutout. Now these guys are like, Kluber did it in 102 pitches. It's ridiculous.
He almost had a Maddux, a complete game shutout under 100. So
it's gotten ridiculous, and I don't know what they're going to do to change it, because they have the baseball, unless they start sneaking the old balls in. But it's not even the baseballs per se. It's these guys are throwing gas with ungodly movement on pitches. Like, it's just hard to hit a baseball. So I don't know. It's bad though. Very, very bad.
Yeah. I was talking with Welsh, and my you know, overall thought was, you know, it's definitely a combination. Guys going and you know, Rosenthal wrote about it before the season. Now he said at some point in the near future, we're going to have like 15 to 20 no hitters because of the way guys are swinging and waiting on pitches and stuff. It's either going to be, you know, guys are aiming more towards the 3 true outcomes, a home run, a strikeout, or a walk. Right. So when you just have it, when all the hitters are off on that one day, what about this? And Welsh and I talked about this, and, you know, you can't go on a sports book and find like a no hitter prop. You know what I mean? There's not a number on the season, or are they going to have one in a week? We kind of went over a couple different scenarios, but if you had to pick a number over under no hitters for the rest of the season, what would you put it at?
Are we counting Bumgarner's or no?
No, we're not.
Okay. So we're at 6.
So just from this point forward, through the rest of the season, and we're at 6, but it's late Thursday as we're recording this. So maybe there's another one before this airs on Saturday. But
like, part of me wants to say like 20 and a half, but that's just being stupid. I'll say over under 5.5 the rest of the season.
5.5 more. Okay. Now, your level of shock, if there is 10 more this year, would it be crazily shocking? Would it be not shocking at all? Like, what would the number be to surprise you if we had X amount for the rest of the season?
Basically, if we get like 14 more, if we get 20 total on the season, I'm just going to be like, this is ridiculous. Like, really, really bad.
The record is 7.
Yeah, we're going to pass that. I got no doubts about that.
Okay, how about this? Your surprise level if we have none for the rest of the year?
I'll be extremely surprised. I'll be over like, wow. I'll be excited, but I'll be very, very surprised. I'll be excited when we start getting, like you said, you know, tune in and get so-and-so's here, and then they blow it. That's like, we're talking about getting back to normalcy because of COVID. Give me some of that. Like, give me some of that normalcy. So that's what I want to see.
And I wonder if this is going to be an aberration as far as, you know, either the whole season or just the beginning of this season, because we're coming off of 2020, because you have the weird 2020, you have the baseball, you have the hitters more concentrated on hitting home runs and not hitting for average and stuff like that anymore. And it's not all hitters, you know, but it is some. And you have teams that are, you know, you see how some of these teams have bottomed completely out and then rebuilt from the ashes, like the Astros and like the Padres. And teams are kind of thinking that that is the way to go to rebuild your team. So they're not putting their best players out on the field. They're not fielding. They're not going after free agents. So the lineups are worse than they've ever been, especially when the league is at the most teams it's ever been at. Right. And like you said, they're thinking about expanding. So, which is just, I mean, they said there's no, what was it Manfred did? What was it that he said that there's nothing's in motion to expand, but the franchise price would be some billion dollars, right?
Yeah, he's pretty much put numbers on it. He's put locations on it. He's put all kinds of things on it. So Manfred just wants to continue to ruin baseball. That's what he wants to do. Because all he sees is more franchises, is more money for him. But little does he see, do you want a million stadiums that are like Tampa Bay and Miami where no one goes to watch baseball?
Right.
Like, I don't know what to tell you. So that's a whole nother podcast or radio show or whatever you want. But it's bad. I really want to know how they change it, because I love seeing no hitters, but when it's almost like, now it better be a perfect game or I don't care. Like,
yeah,
really woo me now. Woo me.
Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, the Welsh and I feel like both kind of changed our tune as far as Bumgarner's no hitter went. And it's not really because of no hitters. It was, if he threw a perfect game in seven, do we count that? And I don't think you can. And maybe that's me being too much of a traditionalist or whatever, but there's only been like, what is it, the 30 total in the history of baseball. And since you know, the modern era is 1917 or whatever that counts as, you know, there's only been like 21 or 22. So okay. I think that's different than a no hitter. But if you're only allowed to play seven innings, Eduardo Escobar, as we're watching this, sorry, doing a little fist pumping here. So Joe Kelly sucks. But anyway, that kind of changed my tune on Bumgarner's no hitter, because sure, it's a no hitter. It's not a 9-inning one and all that good stuff. But I mean, come on, man, you know, you got to throw 9 for a perfect game. And at least we're not seeing, at least there's not 3 perfect games this year when there's been 23 in the history of baseball.
Yeah, that'd be really, really bad. And it's like, yeah, that's a whole nother situation.
But what were Rodon's was a drop third strike away. Yep. And Kluber's, I think, was one walk away. So we're getting close. I mean, okay, how about this? How about this one? More likely, 5 more no hitters or 1 perfect game this season?
5 no hitters, because okay, so many of these pitchers are living like in what they call the shadow zone and all these things, that they're risking walking guys instead of giving them.
I think
them
that
the
was a
pitches.
DC, right? The shadow zone.
Yeah, that's one of them, but it's also another, you know, favorite channel you like to visit. So we can go there too. It's whatever you prefer.
The shadow zone doesn't sound dark enough for me. So I'm just kidding. But yeah, man, it's a wacky year. And that's, it was to be expected, right? It was to be expected, of course, but
it's worse than expected now.
It's just, we always say expect the unexpected, and we expected the unexpected. And then when it comes, we're like, this is unexpected. You know what I mean? There's no calmness to dealing with it. But when we come back, we're going to look at some updated MVP odds, Cy Young odds, all that good stuff. So stick with us. We're going to be taking a look at placing some bets. It's In This League on the Sports Grid right after this.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking the...
In this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody. In this league, on the Sports Grid, get on the grid. I am Scott Bogman with Casey Bubba here, talking some baseball on the show here. And, you know, we talked about... expect the unexpected, right? But I do think that one thing so far this season has been the most expected thing ever. And it's that right before the season, when I feel like everybody was thinking that they were going to be the only one to say it, right? I felt so many of these articles came out and like, my pick is Shohei Ohtani for the MVP because he pitches and hits. It felt like every other person in the industry was writing an article about that, you know, and a lot of them, I think, thought they were going to be, you know, I don't know, not mainstream with it, or that wasn't going to be the most popular pick, but he was, and he is absolutely living up to it right now. And it's not close. When you go on to the FanDuel Sportsbook and take a look at the futures bets, and you go to players futures, you look at the American League MVP, Ohtani is plus 110, which is still paying you back, you know, $1.10 for every dollar you put down. But the next highest odds, are you looking at it, Bub? Do you see it?
Yep, got it right in front of me. Yep.
Vlad Jr., plus 700.
Trout
is at plus 1300, but that's going to come off.
I was going to say, shouldn't that drop or something? Because
it'll drop. Yeah, it will. But if you went, you know, just with the numbers right now, I think he'd probably still be up there. Just Dongs Martinez is at plus 1400. Aaron Judge at plus 1700. Buxton is at plus 1700. Xander's at plus 2000. Jose Ramirez is in there at plus 25. And then you get into long odds at plus 45 and bigger with guys like Bregman, Devers, Stanton, Bo Bichette, stuff like that. So if you had to pick based on these odds, is it still just, hey, look, I know it doesn't pay out a ton, but it's going to be Ohtani? Does Ohtani scare you because of his, he doesn't really have an injury history. It's just the elbow with Tommy John. So he was healthy last year, you know, kind of playing through it. What do you think? Is Ohtani just the easy runaway in the American League? Is that just the chalk bet, or is there somebody else you like the longer odds on and would take them?
Well, I liked the Ohtani before the season at 40-1. We talked about, I think, on this show. I talked about it on my podcast and other things. And I think that was just great value, period. But I'm not doing the 110 for a couple of reasons. His last start, we saw the velocity drop 5 to 6 miles an hour. That concerns the snot out of me. So we'll have to see how they handle that. I'm hoping he's healthy. I want to see him pitch and hit the entire season. That'd be ideal. But he is great. If he's just doing one, it's not going to get him the MVP. That's for sure. So I'm not going to do the 110.
I think he still could, by the way.
He could. He could.
Because if you look at fantasy rankings right now, Welsh and I were talking about this on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast. And if you look right now in Yahoo, standard 5x5, which, of course, isn't anything close to MVP votes or anything like that. But standard 5x5, he's the number one hitter in the league. He's the number one player just as a hitter because he has, like, whatever it is, 13 homers and 6 swipes. So he could get it as just a hitter, but I don't think that that's what they want to do with him. They want him to still pitch.
Yeah, so I'm going to be out on that just because plus 110 doesn't do it for me. I hope he gets it. That'd be awesome. But I'd rather throw some longer darts here and try to have some fun with it. And a guy that stands out to me, and you don't see a lot of DHs get the MVP award. It's always a bugaboo. But Jordan Alvarez at 50-1, that seems very, very attractive to me right now. We saw him come back from his injury. He was raking. And I don't see it. As long as he's on the field, he's going to keep hitting like that. I like that one quite a bit.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say JD Martinez, and I was going to make the argument to not have him win it because of the DH thing. I just think that when when we're still talking about things along the lines of the unwritten rules of baseball, right?
Okay, and Tony.
Look, I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm saying that enough people voting are probably in agreement with that, because we still got a lot of old voters, right? So I think that it's going to be something. I just think that that's something that a lot of those guys can't get over, is that the guy doesn't, you know, he doesn't have a glove. So he doesn't play both ways. And if that's the case, then you should give it to Ohtani midway through the season, because much, he pitched and hit. And I did see a meme that was pretty funny. It said, you know, it was showing Shohei from his last start, which, like you said, was subpar for Ohtani. But it said he threw 88 pitches and played in right field. And someone's like, bro, I did this in fourth grade. Like, you know, it's not that big a deal, but, you know, people don't do it in the bigs is the point. So, you know, it's interesting that a DH would pop in your mind first, because I would have to say, you know, it was easily Trout. I mean, those guys were probably neck and neck until he got hurt. And he could still win it if he only misses a month. I think he's going to miss 6 weeks.
I think it's 6 to 8. I think it's on the farther side of things.
Right, right. So they've said right now 1 to 2 months. I think with that, you always have to kind of at least split the difference and say six. I just always go to the farthest one out as far as fantasy goes and say, yeah, it's probably a couple weeks after that. I just kind of build in a potential setback or something, or, you know, like bring Christian Yelich back and he has to immediately go back on the IL, you know, stuff like that can get really, really annoying. So I think I would probably say that your next man up would be, probably Judge. And Judge doesn't have a good glove, but he does at least go out there. So if he hits 50, you know, and a decent average, I think they'll just give it to him if Ohtani isn't pitching at the end of the year, which is within the realm of possibilities. I mean, that was the reason. It's not that I wasn't big on Ohtani. It's just that, you know, when you take a pitcher, you're kind of flipping the coin. Is this guy going to get hurt for an extended period of time in my season? It is a 50-50 right now. It's as close to 50-50 as it ever has been. And, you know, he's been hurt before as a pitcher. What about in the National League, Bub, where, you know, that's a little bit closer, because the odds, I think, changed a little bit even as I was looking at this, because in the National League, you've got the favorite right now is Acuna at plus 300. We have Fernando Tatis Jr. second at plus 850, and he's already missed some time. And, you know, the shoulder is chronic. He's going to have to deal with it the rest of the season. DeGrom, who pitched a rehab assignment tonight as we're recording this, is
struck
third.
Out eight of his nine outs. Ridiculous.
Yeah, did you see the Palm Beach Cardinals had the tweet? It said, DeGrom out here is out here throwing 102. Someone send us help.
Yeah. So there's a better tweet for people that hate the way minor leaguers are handled. It said, yeah, it's pretty impressive that DeGrom's throwing 102 against our minor leaguers, especially since they get paid so much to do it.
DeGrom is plus 900, Arenado plus 900. And then you hit the longer odds. Harper plus 12, Bryant plus 15. So is Turner, Soto, and Betts at plus 18. And then you get into the long, long odds of 2,000 to 4,500 in Castellanos, Freeman, Turner, Machado, Yelich, Bellinger, guys like that. So Corey Seager's even in here, and he's going to miss a month. So I think it's a much closer race in the NL, but I think I would rather take the shorter odds on Acuna at plus 300 than I would take Ohtani, who's probably closer to guaranteed to win it at plus 110. Just because I'm getting my 3-1 there.
Yeah. No, I'll take Acuna for sure. In this scenario, I think 300-1, 3-1 basically still very, very strong. The dude is just a freak. Like everything you look at, every way they frame the stats, it's amazing what he's doing. So to stay on the field, he'll be fine. I will say, if you want to take a longer shot, one that I really, really like, because
can I guess it? I think I know who it is. Is it Juan Soto?
100% at 18-1. I guess the guy that I took preseason a lot shorter odds. He was hurt with a shoulder injury. He's starting to get healthy. He's homered recently, and he's starting to hit the ball a lot better. So he's one of those guys that could have a hot streak that'll just make you forget the slow start to the injured season. He's at 18-1. what he had to be, what, 6 or 7 probably to start the season. So you're getting value is what I'll say. And I like that a lot with Soto.
Interesting enough on the Cy Young side here, and we only have about 2 minutes left, but the American League, it's Cole plus 100, Bieber plus 440, Glasnow plus 600. I don't think anybody else is really in the discussion right now. So if you had to pick between one of those three, would you just go Glasnow because he has the longest odds, or would you stick with Cole?
Cole's going to win it, but yeah, it's the betting game is you take your odds. So take your Glasnow odds while you can, but Cole's winning this thing.
And it's not even close in the NL. It's DeGrom is -1.
You don't see minuses very often in this. That's not bananas. In
awards like this, especially awards for a guy that is on rehab assignment as we're doing
that's
this.
That's how good he is. It's nuts.
There's other guys in here that can win it, of course. I mean, Burns is plus 450, and he's having an outstanding year. Darvish is plus 16. So is Scherzer. Woodruff is 18-1. So is Flaherty and Bauer. Then you get into much longer odds. Bueller plus 25, Nola plus 300 or plus 30. So is Kershaw, Musgrove, Rogers, Wheeler are all plus 35. Then it's long, long guys. I mean, like, I might take Freddie Peralta at plus 5,000 if I'm not going to bet DeGrom, right? I think you might as well just take some long odds and see if it pays off, right?
Yeah, I'm like Darvish and Woodruff stand out to me as intriguing ones if you want to go that route, because they're having phenomenal years. And if maybe DeGrom gets one more, maybe this injury is worse than we think, he comes back and he hurts it, God forbid, like I don't want him to, but if he does, then he ain't gonna win it. So now, and then those odds change dramatically. So if you want to get real weird, I can go the homer in me and tell you I was wrong. Kevin Gausman 45-1 is intriguing. He's been very, very good in the Giants. If they make the playoffs, he'll be a big factor to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Giants are playing some great baseball right now. Put up 19 runs today as we're recording this. But we are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the NBA playoffs a little bit and see some odds on that. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league,
somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Please check out our Patreon, woodpaper.com/ITL Army, where we got all kinds of goodies for you. We got secret shows, rankings, group me rooms, all kinds of stuff over there for you. If you would please check it out, we appreciate it. And please follow my friendo, Casey Bubba at BD Entrick. And Casey, tell everybody where they can find all of your great podcasts and work right now.
Yeah, thanks. On Twitter at BD Entrick, as you said, I tweeted out there plenty, but the Benched with Bubba podcast going twice a week, just recorded another 2 episodes this week for you, recapping, you know, fab stuff, and then some other look ahead work as always for season long fantasy baseball. And then obviously Bogman and I do a Line Star DFS show and some other content there. I do a golf DFS show, written content at rotoballer.com and fantasy sports degens. There's always something going on. It feels like I keep adding more when I should probably be taking more away. So just follow me on Twitter and you get all the goodies there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, and I got another home run call today from our guy,
inning,
JD.
In the ninth inning to give them the lead. I was watching that while I was recording Benched with Bubba, and I'm like, you mother. Yep.
Yeah. Always on time.
Well, I'll save it for the podcast, the other show.
Yeah, always on time. Whenever I get one, it's always on time. It's never late. So yeah. I like that. But let's talk about the NBA because we haven't talked about it in a while here, and the playoffs are just about to start. We had the play-in games. We got one more coming up between the Warriors and the Grizz. Yeah,
Grizzlies. Yeah,
for whatever reason, completely,
Warriors roll.
Yeah, complete. Yeah, I think so too. But let's talk about LeBron and the
fake injury.
Yeah, I mean, look, he got poked in the eye, and I'll give him that because Draymond did, and this is what people are forgetting, because everyone, you know, I saw all the stuff, LaFlop, all that stuff. And it's funny because I don't listen to a lot of local radio, but because I'm a fat boy, when I go out to get my fast food, I have my radio on, and they were talking about, you know, just how LeBron was a complete hack. I mean, it's just a total lie when you say that you saw three baskets and I aimed for the middle one. Give me a break, dude. Like, you're fine. And I mean, because he also in the same breath said that he had looked at the shot clock to see how far they were behind, and the shot clock's further away.
He's always been a bad liar.
Right, right. So, I mean, look, he's just a drama queen, which is fine. Yep. You know, I mean, whatever.
Embrace it.
Sure, sure. And by the way, flop. Get yourself some free throws. Yep. and seal the game. I mean, he's not the best free throw shooter in the world, but he can make them. So, flop. Get Draymond.
Go full body debunk on it. Do it.
I want to see his eye, because remember, people were saying the same crap about Harden, and then we saw his eyes were both red as the devil's, you know what. So, you know, that he got scratched. So we'll see if LeBron did. And if LeBron did get scratched in the eye, we got to start questioning Draymond. Like, what are you doing out there, Catwoman? You know what I mean? Like, you can be dirty. That's fine. But don't go after people's eyes. That ain't right. You know, but anyway. It's just the worst lie you've ever seen in sports, right? It's one of the most terrible ones. Him talking about the triple image and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, it was horrible. It's almost like he was talking about his third eye. So it was it's ridiculous. He's done this so many times. Like, it's hard because he is one of the best basketball players to play the game, period. And so you're trying not to take that away from him, but you just find yourself in the same similar situations over and over and over again. It's like eventually you're just like, dude, like, just play basketball and shut up. I'm just over it. So, it was very, very fake. It was very, like, at 1 second, people are like, oh, he's down, he's not going to get up, blah, blah, blah. No, he's just fine. He's cool.
It happened. Like, it's funny enough, because it happened. You and I were talking to each other. Yep. We were finishing up our Line Star show on Wednesday. Well, I had the game on, and I said,
you thought he got shot like he was a soccer player.
Well, yeah. I thought he hurt his leg, because
third leg, it happened.
Yeah, and the way he came down on it kind of looked like, you know, when some guys will blow out their knee or roll their ankle or whatever. I was like, is it his leg? He's not grabbing at it. And then I saw him grabbing at his eye, right? And someone was like, how LeBron looked. And it was his own face. And it said how he thought he looked. And it was Kevin Pillar's face, right? That was that was a meme. It was pretty solid. But it was just over the top and ridiculous. But it leads us to one of the best series in the NBA playoffs. And it's a huge rivalry, maybe not for Lakers fans so much, just because they've kind of dominated the series. But the Suns and the Lakers, you know, I live out here in the Valley, and the Suns and Lakers it's a big, big rivalry. And, you know, the Suns have home court, 7-game series. They are plus 136 straight up. The Lakers are minus 168. If you take it out to who wins and how many, the best odds that you like, the worst paying odds that you can find, are the Lakers 4-2 at plus 310. The Lakers 4-3 is plus 470. The Suns 4-3 is also plus 470. The Suns 4-2 is plus 700. Suns sweep is plus 18. Lakers sweep is plus 900. So if you are betting man, Bubba, what are you throwing your money on? Are you throwing your money on the Lakers straight up? And what are you going to pick as far as this series to go between Phoenix and LA?
It goes at least 6 games. I'll be pretty confident on that one. So if you want to dabble on either side, 6 and 7s, you can still make money in the end. But you wanted me to pick just one. So I'm going to take the Lakers in 6, which is 310, which is the lowest odds, unfortunately. But that's the most realistic one I see. Like, they'll split in Phoenix the first 2 games. They'll go and win both their games at home. Then they'll go back to Phoenix and wrap it up. So that's the way I see things happen. Or is it 2-2-1-1-1, or is it 2-3-2?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 2-2.
So it'll be, they'll split in Phoenix, they'll win 2 in LA, they'll lose in Phoenix, and they'll clinch it at home in game 6.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think it is probably going to be the Lakers. And, you know, look, LeBron gets the calls, right? And yep. it's
they
not...
want him. Okay, sorry to interrupt you, but it's the NBA, and I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but you guys have watched the NBA long enough. They want the big names to at least go a little farther in the playoffs. It's just the way it's going. Like Devin Booker and the Suns is an amazing story. They're an amazing story in the bubble. They've done it again during this season. They're getting better and better with Chris Paul and stuff. I get it. But they want the Lakers. They want a potential Lakers-Clippers series. It's just the way it's going
to
be.
And to be fair, non-conspiracy theory here, also the Lakers are finally healthy, right?
That's the other thing. Like they're the better team. Yeah. It feels like the old Spurs teams where it's like, we're just going to get to the playoffs and then we're just going to smoke you all. We don't care right. what our seeding is. We're going to have Duncan. We're going to have Robinson even back then and all these other guys. We don't care what our record is. We're going to be one of the eight that's in, and then we're just going to spank everybody. So that's what's going to happen.
The next series to talk about is the Lakers or the Clippers, excuse me, and Mavericks. This one is not close. It's the Mavericks -430, the Clippers, excuse me, -430, the Mavericks +320, and 4-1 is the easiest odds in favor of the Clippers at +230. A sweep is +490. A 4-3 is +420 in favor of the Clippers. Anything with the Mavericks is +800 and higher. So, I mean, this is easy Clippers. And I think, honestly, I would either pick I would probably pick the sweep at +490 just because it pays way more than the +230.
That's kind of where I'm at. Like, you see Dallas winning a game because you just don't see sweeps as often anymore, just the way it goes. But for the odds sake, yeah, you take that +490.
Portland versus Denver in the West. This one's very, very close. -115 for the Blazers, -105 for the Nuggets. So they see it as very, very close. I got the Nuggets in this one, and I don't see it as this close. I think it's going to be a 4-2 for the Nuggets, which is +500.
I like that.
It doesn't actually the easiest odds or the best odds here is Portland 4-2 at +410. Where are you at in this series?
I like Denver as well. It's gonna be it's a good series, obviously, and that's what the odds are telling you. It's one of those where you could see a lot of last minute buzzer beater type stuff, or you know, last possession.
Well, if we're getting to the last minute buzzer beater, then
Dame Lillard is. I'm gonna take the Blazers. Yeah, that's why it's like tough for me to not take the Blazers. But I like the overall team, and in the end, where you have one of the potential MVP candidates in Joker, it's tough not to go Nuggets in this one. I'm gonna go that way.
Yeah, I'm going with the Nuggets as well. Let's move over to the East. Atlanta versus the New York Knicks, finally in the playoffs again. First time since, I believe, 2013. The Knicks are -105. The Hawks are -115. So this is kind of like the series that we just talked about. The best odds here is New York to win 4-2 at +440, but everything's kind of close. Hawks 4-3 is +460. Hawks 4-2 is +490. Knicks 4-3 is +460. Knicks 4-1 is +600. Also, Hawks 4-1, same thing, +600. Sweep +13 for the Knicks, +11 for the Hawks. So, who do you think wins this series, and what's the number of games you see this one going to?
We're going to go back to my theory about why the Lakers will advance, and we're going to take the Knicks because eyeballs on TV.
You know, Tim Donaghy is not in the
it's always haunting my mind. I was at those games in Sacramento. Always haunts my mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to still go with the Knicks, though. It's going to be tight. I got them in 7. Give me the +460.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to say the Knicks in 7 as well. I think this is going to be a really fun
series. I think if you take either one in 7, I think it goes 7 games.
I hope so. That would be a lot of fun. Yeah. This one kind of surprised me. You know, the Heat and the Bucks. The Bucks are -310. The Heat are +428. And look, I know the Bucks had a better record at 46-26, and the Heat were 40-32, and they have home court and all that stuff. Miami looked tough in the playoffs last year, though. And, you know, they returned a lot of the same core here. So I kind of like to take the +248 on the Heat. You know, GA hasn't done as much in the playoffs as a lot of people have expected him to in his career. But I mean, it's anything with the Heat winning is paying you pretty good odds. It's +750 for the Heat in 7 or the Heat in 6. For the Bucks in 6, it's +380, +400. So are you with me on the Heat, or do you just think the Bucks roll here?
I like the value on the Heat because I think this is a much closer series than the line says. So you could take the +240 if you want. But in reality, if the Heat win, it's going 6 or 7. They're not sweeping them by any means. So those are both plus 750. You can put a little on both if you want. If you really think the Heat are going to win, don't take the plus 240. Sprinkle on the plus 750s for 6 and 7. So that's where I'm at, because I'm with you. You know, you got Jimmy Butler, you got Bam Bam. You got a good set of guards for the Heat. We saw what they did in the bubble last year with Hero and company. They're a sneaky team, like you said. And if anything, they're physical, which, you know, you got these finesse teams. And the Bucks aren't full finesse, don't get me wrong. But they like to glide around and drive to the basket and shoot their threes. And if you start bumping guys around, it gets pretty fun. So I like the Heat to make this really interesting.
Last one before we go to the break here. The Nets, such big odds. Minus 1050.
Sorry, Boston.
Yeah, Boston plus 638. Boston had a play in the play-in. Anything for Boston is plus 1300 and higher. So this is just easy.
I'll Nets. Send you my Venmo if you want to bet on Boston. Just throw the money my way.
I mean, look, Boston's got possible. A good core. Yeah. They've got a good core, but this looks like it's the Nets. I would love to see the Nets completely melt down.
It would be
in the playoffs.
Epic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a KD fan. He's a Texas guy. Love that dude, but James Harden and company and Kyrie Irving, like, they have gotten on my last nerve. So if we can see them crash and burn, I'm all about it. When we come back after the break, we'll talk about the MVP odds, because it is interesting that they have cut it down to 3, maybe some rookie of the year as well. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. You hear Endless Love. You guys know what that means. It is the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the NBA playoffs and the potential no-hitters that are coming your way. Bub, let's just take a look here real quick, because the MVP odds, they've lowered it to only 3 guys: Jokic, Curry, and Embiid. So LeBron's not even in here anymore. We know it's going to be one of those 3. Jokic is minus 7,000. Curry is plus 2,700. Embiid is plus 3,000. I mean, is it worth it to take anybody else, or is it just easy Jokic?
It should be very easy Jokic, but Curry's been so freaking amazing. To get plus 2,700, dribble a little bit. See what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little surprised that the odds are that long. I mean, yeah. If someone came up to me and asked me who's the MVP, I would say Jokic, you know.
Yeah, it should be.
Mainly because I'm a fantasy nerd, and he's the number one. He's been the number one player wired.
He's broken the stats for a center. It's crazy.
Yeah, he's number one player wire to wire, so it hasn't been close. But I was a little surprised that they left LeBron off. Even though I think LeBron said that Curry should win it, I think
he should. That Warriors team wasn't even close to being a playoff contender until Curry just went absolutely bananas like the last 2 to 3 months. It's been crazy what he's done for that team.
Yeah, and he almost had them beat the Lakers the other night too. So great year for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he wins. How about Rookie of the Year? Is a little closer. Lonzo Ball got hurt, but he is the odds-on favorite. And the 3 guys here, it's Lonzo Ball at minus 1,900, Anthony Edwards at plus 1,000, and Tyrese Haliburton at plus 1,300. So you have any good lean one way or the other here?
It's getting me LaMelo. I really wish it was Tyrese, and at one time it looked like he had a good shot at it, and it kind of dwindled away a little bit. But give me Melo. Melo's going to get it, and it'll be great because he'll be the first ball to actually win something.
It's the rookie wall, man. It happens to the best of us, whether it's injury or performance. But that is going to wrap it up for us on this show. I hope you guys Have a great weekend. Like we said, enjoy your no hitters. Maybe tweet at us at Bogman Sports, at Is the Welsh, at BD Entrick, and tell us who you think is going to be the next guy to throw a no hitter. But we will see you guys next weekend. Take it easy, everybody.